in truth, right? Operate in truth. You know, tell the truth.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gator Truth Florida Football Podcast. I'm Daniel, and on this episode, we're going to take a look back at the Mizzou and the Florida State games. I apologize for no new episodes last week. Unfortunately, I was out of the area, and the place that said it had Wi-Fi had terrible Wi-Fi. And to let you know, this show is recorded on an internet site that I use for the video and also take the audio from for those of you listening wherever you get your podcasts. With not great internet connection, it was poor video, poor audio quality, so I do apologize for that. So with that said, Missouri, FSU, a lot of the things are really the same type of issue. Of course, there are different things. I will just quickly go over Missouri. I know it's probably been beaten to death by now by lots of podcasts you've listened to or whatnot, but there are things I think that go from there to what we see in the FSU game, and we'll get into that. So Missouri, first off, interesting trip. I will say that there's a lot of nothing between St. Louis and Columbia, kind of a lonely 100-mile drive there. With that said, interesting atmosphere. I did stand right up against a wall in the Hill general admission section and was right there in front. For those of you that have been to our Twitter at Gator Podcast, you've seen the video of me having Ricky Pearsall run right at me on his 39-yard touchdown run. Of course, we lose the game 33-31, last-second field goal. I do have a video of that. No, I will not be showing that to you or making you relive that. That was, of course, in my end zone as well. So we talked about in previous weeks, such as LSU, that when the defense actually gets stops, we need to actually, you know, do something on offense. And a lot of times we were not scoring when we had defensive stops, and the timing does matter. It's a lot different, you know, like LSU, we score a few times early and we get up by two scores or, you know, keep it 17-14 or something. It's a whole different feel, a whole different game. And I can tell you, going to Mizzou, a lot of fans asked me if I thought we were going to win. And when I said, I'm not sure, to be honest, you guys have a great team, the fans believe they had a 50-50 shot against us. They really did not think that they were a big-time favorite against us. Now, I will say before the game, I did not know Mizzou had Tyron Hopper and another linebacker out, which of course was big, and we did kind of take advantage of that, but not really in the first half. First drive, we go down, we score, and then we don't score again in the first half, which is unfortunate. Had we taken advantage, best case scenario, and scored on our next two touchdowns, our next two drives, it could have been 21-3 or even a touchdown on one of the drives. That's 14-3. A lot of different things that play into the psyche that take the crowd out of the game that we did not do. And then in the second half, we did start to move the ball with Graham Mertz. Had probably his most gutsy run of the year. Unfortunately, gets injured, goes out on the next play. Max Brown comes in, plays really well. In fact, fourth down, gets a massive run, gets us inside the 30. And then for whatever reason, we go ultra conservative on the next three plays. While Mizzou has three timeouts, granted Trevor Etienne steps out of bounds, so Mizzou didn't have to use one. But I will say this, Mizzou's kicker Mevis has already made a 62-yard game winner this season. They would only have, even if he doesn't step out of bounds, they take a timeout there. They've got 100 seconds, you know, about a minute 40, 100 seconds to go 30 yards to reach that long. And with an offense like that, with players like Schrader, Burden, Cook, that's more than enough time. So I don't really fault that. What I fault is the idea of we have been running read options and killing them with Max Brown. Things we could have done, we get one more first down, game is over, because we can just run the clock down and we don't really try to get that first down. Instead, what happens, happens. Granted, that doesn't matter if we stop them on 4th and 17. And of course, we did not. And that was a second blow, you know, second shot to the foot. First off, if we just try and get one more first down, no one's saying we take shots at the end zone or anything, but we get that first down, we run the clock out, we win, you know, we kick a last second field goal to win. And then, of course, when we had the chance to get the stop, did not. All right. Thought Brown was pretty good coming in later in that game. Thought Mertz played well up until that point. There are things we did well. Got our playmakers the ball quite a bit, which was great. Now let's move on to FSU just as a contrast. And I have to set that up because it's going to be a contrast on some things and it's going to be a continuation of problems. So Florida against FSU gets up 10-0. They do take advantage of some early stops, and one of their stops is a safety. The problem is after that safety and we go up 12-0, we get outscored 24-3 the rest of the game. 24-3. I'm sitting there with Gator Josh, I said, and of course the play that sort of turns the game is the double reverse pass. Said to Gator Josh, who I was sitting with, said to him, Josh, I really don't hate that call, but at the same time, it's one of those, if you don't do it, it's crazy. Or if you don't execute, it's crazy. And if you do it, everyone's happy. And I still stand by that. So Josh, if you're listening, you can verify that I did say that. I'm not going to come in and bash the call. However, someone did have a great point with our offensive line has not been great this year, and now you're going to run a double reverse pass that takes up so much time to allow players to get to the quarterback. And I think that's a fair critique as well. What I hated is after it, the predictable run up the middle on second and long, leading to a 3rd and 16. And then, of course, we punt. FSU gets the ball, and Jamari Lyons shows a lack of discipline in this program, and we keep seeing stupid 15-yard penalties and spits on a player and gives FSU life. They end up scoring on that drive. Interesting note on that drive as well. We did have some true freshmen in playing DBs. One gave up a major pass on that drive, and both Gator Josh and I were kind of like, man, I'm surprised we don't see the more veteran DBs who had been playing great, including Jason Marshall, who I believe had a drive-ending sack before this, come back into the game at that point. And of course we didn't. FSU scores. I go see some people at the half, and the general consensus was, I have a feeling at the beginning of the second half, we're going to be down 14-12. And sure enough, that happened because we could feel the momentum after the game. And our offense had gotten decently conservative. After the game, Billy Napier, very first questions presser, is asking him about the conservative play calling, and his answer being, well, the defense had played well so far, and I'm paraphrasing, defense had played well so far, so yeah, we got conservative. And my problem is, we've talked about it. LSU, multiple chances to score and take a bigger lead because the defense had played well so far in that game, but the offense not living up to it. Missouri, again, I throw up the number, best case scenario, if we're scoring touchdowns, 21-3 or 14-3 or 17-3 or 10-3, something bigger, and we didn't take advantage. We've seen this defense play relatively well. Number one offense in the nation, only 17 points in the first half at LSU. We saw a very good Mizzou offense held again to lower point totals in the first half than what they're used to. So against this FSU team, I will take with a backup quarterback only allowing 7 points, but we've seen this defense in the second half give up points. So to get conservative with only 12 points and admitting to doing so is ridiculous. And that is coaching. You can't say, well, it's execution. Yeah, there are execution issues, but when the head coach is telling you he's being conservative, I'm going to listen to the head coach. I'm going to believe what the head coach is saying rather than try and find some excuse that it's someone else's fault. And so anyways, we get down 14-12, but we answer 15-12 and then do not score the rest, or 15-14, do not score the rest of the way. It's not exactly what you want to see. I do believe that the defense overall played well, but again, stupid penalties. We can argue about, you know, things like the defensive pass interference, which was definitely offensive pass interference if pass interference had to be called. But when a quarterback's going down the slide, don't go after him. That's going to be called 100% of the time, whether you think it's a big hit, whether it should have been targeting or not. Point is, once that quarterback starts his slide, I know it's tough, I know it's close, but right there, you've got a defensive stop, and instead, FSU takes another 15-yard penalty, third of the game, and converts it to 7 points and makes a two-score game, and we lose. And again, the idea of let's get conservative because we're up by 12 is not a great idea. And when I look at it, and that's why I had to, even though I really logically maybe didn't have to mention the Mizzou game, I wanted to talk about, well, the defense played well at first at LSU, played well at first against Mizzou, and then well at first against FSU, and the crowd was into it. And then the offensive issues took the crowd out of it, you know, a decent amount. That crowd was not the same in the third quarter as it was in the first quarter and a half. And it's just frustrating. It's frustrating that you cannot find ways. And admittedly, there were a few plays that were just missed by Max Brown, but you cannot find ways to get more than 5 touches between Wilson and Pearsall combined. You can't get Pearsall the 52 yards he needed to get to 1,000 yards on the season, only one catch. And again, there was a big play. Max Brown misses. He also had a phenomenal throw. It was early on. It was on a corner route. And I said to Josh, I said, Josh, that's a great throw. And he made a comment about, well, they said that he had his accuracy issues. I go, well, one throw doesn't make him. Sure enough, shortly after is when we see him missing Wilson on a slip, where he slipped out in the flat, just misses him. If he catches it, he's got days to run. But doesn't mean we couldn't have gone back to that, and we really didn't. One thing I talked about, a specific play call that I talked about after Carolina that we really haven't seen since, is that wide receiver middle screen where essentially he runs towards the line of scrimmage and the offensive line just goes forward and basically run blocks. That's something we could have done with either Wilson or Pearson. I don't recall seeing that this game. Ways to get them the ball. And yeah, they may have stopped a pop pass, but that doesn't mean they would have kept stopping it. Or, you know, found ways to get into rounds. Just getting your playmakers the ball more. That's something that we had to do and did not do. And again, it just is what it is. Now, yes, our offensive line was bad, but that's why I bring up things like slants. If you've listened to the show long enough, you know I've talked about our tendency is third, fourth down slants. But when we run them on first or second, which is not our tendency, it has succeeded. It succeeded at Mizzou on the first drive. We did 2, I believe, on the first drive very successfully. But we didn't see it that much. I saw someone talking about, oh, they're saying we don't run slants. We ran plenty, like we ran on fourth down. It's like, no, people are saying we don't run slants except for on third or fourth down as our tendency. Because when we do it successful, in fact, we had one to Ricky that would have been really successful had Max Brown put the ball in front of him. Unfortunately, a little bit on his back hip. If he catches it, he probably goes for a big gain, if not a touchdown. But again, Ricky, you can find ways to get a guy the ball more than once. I tweeted, I think it was on a personal page, Urban Meyer, Dan Mullen, other offensive coaches do have things called get it to plays. And I guarantee you, Andy Reid has that. I guarantee you, you know, any sort of great NFL offensive coach, NCAA offensive coach you can think of, has get it to plays. They have plays designed specifically to get it to their best playmakers in space, and we've got to get more of those. And I think if we do that more than, again, five touches and a few of those being on the first drive, so the rest of the game seeing lacks of touches, that is concerning. And I hate to rant and sound negative, but I want to be honest that it's not just a player issue. I see a lot of people trying to make it a player issue. It's not coaching at all. But when I hear the coach saying, I got, again, paraphrasing, yeah, I got conservative because the defense had played well so far. It's your rival. Run up the score. You know, show that you're a team on the rise in the state. Take the state. You are at that point 1-6 against your rivals. Run up the score. Make it so they can't come back. Not so a touchdown at the end of the first half and they get the ball at the beginning of the second half and score and now they're up. Like, the thought process just isn't fully there. It's what I like to call two-step thinking. A lot of people in life seem to only look at, okay, first step, this is going great. Let's just stop here, when they don't think, okay, down the road, what else has happened? What's the big picture? What's the probability? Has my defense for this scenario, has my defense played well before and then come apart later in the game? And, or why should I stop scoring when this is still a very dangerous offense, even with a backup quarterback? If they get going, we could have issues. That's really my problem. Now, with that said, crowd was phenomenal. Defense first half was phenomenal. Jason Marshall had a pretty good game, to be honest. Hasn't been, you know, he's been a mixed bag, but had a pretty good game this week. He did give up a big first down play in the red zone, unfortunately. He did also have the, you know, unfortunate task of taking on Johnny Wilson, who's 6'7". The way I liken it is, hey, how many point guards do you see getting under the rim, trying to out-rebound a power forward? That, I mean, we're talking a guy who I believe is maybe 6'1", up against a 6'7 guy. Kind of hard to win jump balls there, but he did a decent job in coverage. So I do want to shout that out because he has had some bad games. So when he has had a decent game, I do want to shout that out, but also point out, you know, sometimes 6'7 is a problem. And I said that last year with Johnny Wilson. And then also want to shout out our highest rated defender, Cameron Jackson. Lots of big guys in the middle, shutting down the middle quite a bit. And in at least that early bit, whether it's Cameron Jackson, Big Des Watson, causing lots of problems. I do think when Lyons was ejected, again, a terrible penalty there, spitting in the face of another player. I'm not saying terrible because it shouldn't have been called. I'm saying terrible because what were you thinking? I think that depth piece going out did hurt. And obviously for our defense, things towards the end of the year, like the loss of Shamar James, have hurt. But again, there are things we could have capitalized on. We know the defense is what it is. And they gave us as good of a first half as we could ask for. Could ask for a little bit more in the second half. Unfortunately, they were also not getting the support from the other side. And that's something we've got to do better, is do, you know, try and score on every drive. That's got to be the thought. While the defense has to try and stop every drive. Obviously, you're not going to be perfect, but to talk about, we got kind of conservative because we only had 12 points is kind of ridiculous. And going back to the officiating, After 2003, Swindle in the Swamp, as it's known by Gator fans, Jeremy Foley made a great decision to say, all right, officials are only going to, for Florida State, home team will now supply officials, not away teams. Scott Strickland did away with that. I'm not going to say that this, in fact, I put this on Twitter. I'm not saying we lost this game because of officials. There were some bad calls, and we benefited off of at least one bad call. But if you think that an ACC crew wasn't in some ways trying to protect the ACC's best chance at the playoff, I don't know what to tell you. But my beef is not so much with the officiating. Yeah, there are bad calls, but again, we got some bad calls. Mine is the mindset of, hey, let me change something that was changed for a reason. Another big misstep from the guy who hired, you know, coaches that were involved in scandals in women's soccer, women's basketball, and generally on the field has not had many coaches in whatever sport produce results that they hired. So, honestly, something in that decision making needs to change. And I will say that because there's a, you know, I know a lot of people are probably like, oh, he's actually saying that. Yeah, I am. But we're going to go over how I felt about the season. Obviously, 5-7. I'll tell you right now, my benchmark was 7. I don't move goalposts. We didn't reach that, but we'll talk about that later. I will say it's been a fun season. I did post, again, on Twitter, at Gator Podcast, or on X, whatever we're calling it now, at Gator Podcast, a few pictures from each game. Unfortunately, FSU was one game I didn't get a picture of myself, whether it's, you know, me and my brother, me and my wife, me, my brother, my wife, my mom. Shout out to some of the Utah guys like Ute Van Iven, who did an interview with us before the season, or Sam Winder, who I met at Utah, and I've seen on Twitter, or my friend TJ I met last year at A&M, who I ran into at Mizzou. Just some fun things that I posted from each game, and hopefully a few videos. Sometimes they're just, hey, here's the team coming out, because I needed something else, and it was Kentucky and there wasn't much interesting going on. And other times it's, hey, here's my brother, my nephew, and I with Brandon Spikes at LSU. So definitely traveling the SEC is fun. Good times. I recommend doing it. If you have pictures of you at games and you want them shared, by all means, do it. I do think college football is a great community. One thing we can agree on as a community in a time of divisiveness in the world, whether it's politics or just whatever, I do think a bunch of us can say college football is awesome. Win or lose, even if it drives up the wall, even if we're making decisions to go conservative with a 12-point lead. And yes, I keep bringing that because it did bother me that much. But anyways, it's one thing that we can all unite on and say it's awesome. So share your stories. I love to hear your stories. It's definitely been a good season. Like I said, I will wrap it up with my feelings. I'll go back to the beginning of the season, things I thought were better or worse, maybe some of the schedule preview, and say, hey, you know what? I was right about this O-line, or I was wrong about quarterback, which I said was worse, and I'll say why it wasn't worse. And, you know, have a little bit of accountability there for myself. Hope to have some more fun things in the offseason, which I plan to. Last year didn't do as much, but this year I do hope to be better about that. If you have any ideas, please reach out to us at Gator Podcast on X, or you can take the dive, follow my personal page at GatorTruth133. Lots of fun discussion to be had there. Lots to see as the transfer portal opens up. Definitely interesting to see what happens if there are coaching changes. I believe there should be. Lots of things to keep an eye out for as we go into the offseason. Again, unfortunately, we end the season on 5 straight losses, but it's always great to be a Florida Gator in all kinds of weather, and I don't think that means we bury our heads in the sand and can't say what's good and what's bad. I believe that means through thick and thin, you know, whether it's good or bad, we stick together and say, hey, this is our team, win or lose, good times, bad times. It is what it is. And that's what I'll stay with. In fact, it's right over here. For those of you watching on YouTube, you'll see the We Are the Boys on this side. And of course, on this side, the fight song. For those of you that have probably been staring all year wondering what those are, probably figured out We Are the Boys, but maybe not so much the fight song. With that said, all I can say is thank you all for listening. Go Gators.